December 5th, 2010. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Good morning. Please stand and sing, "Come Now Is the Time to Worship."
Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God.
And we sisters, will you pray with me, please? God of heaven, during this season of Advent, as we await your coming down and being here with us, born in the form of a babe, we look on that with anticipation and with excitement, oh God, as we are here today and as we celebrate and give thanks. And we pray all these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, brothers and sisters, it's a gift that God comes to us in the flesh, in the form of the babe, so that we might know the love and the grace that God has for each one of us. As we think of holidays past and maybe holidays to come, the celebration of Christmas and all of the joys that that brings maybe into our lives, may we know and think on the joys of that today. May we look ahead and experience together as God's family that joy, and may we share that with each other. So please step outside your pews and do that now.
John the Baptist proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
And John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals."
And we invite the rest of our children up to the front for our children's message this morning.
Don't forget. forget to leave a spot for me.
I never get to say my name right now.
I see you.
Oh, no, I know you.
I see you at karate.
I know there's bread in there.
I remember you, Michelle. Have that
to do? I'm going to talk about bread today.
Ew. What?
We're going to talk about bread.
We're going to talk about bread.
Talk about bread.
Bread.
Yum.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
A lot of you have noticed I have some bread with me today. I am talking about bread. We're not having snack yet. But this morning when I woke up, my tummy was rumbling. Does that ever happen to you? You wake up hungry?
No. Yes.
No. Not to me.
No, Joe. Yes.
Yeah.
Joey and Jaden's daddy made us pancakes this morning. They were delicious, and they filled my belly. Sometimes when you're hungry, you just need something good to fill that hole in your belly that's making it rumble and rumble, right?
Yeah.
This is a loaf of bread. If you were really, really hungry one day and I gave you this loaf of bread, would that fill that hole in your belly?
Yeah.
It would fill it right up and you wouldn't be hungry anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people in the world who have a hungry belly all the time, which is why at this time of year and hopefully all year, mommies and daddies and boys and girls bring food to food pantries to help feed that hole that people have in their belly. Keep them full in their belly. And bread is wonderful for that. Well, this morning, up on the projector, there was a verse from the Bible. And it said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The bread of life. Jesus is bread?
No.
That seems a little strange. We're the bread? No, Jesus said he is the bread of life. Now, if you are hungry in your belly, you can't eat Jesus. He doesn't fill that hungry belly, does he?
No.
But sometimes we have another empty spot inside of us. And that's the spot that Jesus can fill. Sometimes it might feel like sadness or emptiness. Or it might feel like loneliness. Have you ever felt those feelings before?
No.
Sometimes we do. And there are lots of people, especially when we're grown-ups, we sometimes get a hole that nothing can fill. Not if we buy every fancy meal or fancy car or big house. That hole just stays there. That's the hole in ourselves that Jesus fills. He is the bread of life. He fills that emptiness inside of us. And when you feel that emptiness, it's a good idea to think, well, I know Jesus is there for me. Where can I go or what can I do to have Jesus fill that spot? Does anybody know what you could do if you have that empty feeling inside and you need Jesus to fill it up for you? What could you do? Where could you go? What could you read? What could you do? How do you do? Yes. You could read the Bible. There's a lot of Jesus in the Bible, right? And that helps. Yes, Emily.
You could bring a huge basket of food and put it into that.
You could bring food maybe to people who need it. That would be a way to be with Jesus.
A whole basket.
Marcus?
Make it all better.
Yeah? Sometimes if we fold our hands like this, what are we doing?
Praying.
And that can help Jesus make it all better for us. Sometimes when I hear you little joyful noise kids sing Away in a Manger, I get a very warm feeling in my belly. I think that's Jesus filling me up. You think that? Do you ever get that feeling?
I'm always hungry.
Well, let's fold our hands and pray a minute. And let's just say, thank you, Jesus, for being there to fill that hole that no earthly bread could fill. You are the bread of life, and help us to remember that and keep you inside of us this Christmas season and all year round. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Part of the vapor to which God is the eternal, the permanent, is all of the stuff of life. And let me tell you a little bit of the stuff of this church happening that is important, but yet nothing, a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. First of all, next Sunday was going to be the Carol Choir musical, but with the abrupt change and the resignation of Brian, we've made it a week later. So it'll be the 19th if you're... Also, this Saturday, men's breakfast at St. Bernard's, the ecumenical breakfast, December 11. If you want to go, please let the office know or Wes Frew. And then let me say tonight, important thing, and that is that there's an Advent celebration. We come here at 5 o'clock, we eat together, we sort of have a potluck, and then after that, there's a choir concert that has come together with remarkable speed. But it'll be a blessing for you. So please come back for that. Yeah, I believe you need a sign up so that they need know how many chairs are set up so you can sign up in the fellowship hall. And then let me see. Also, notice on page 6 under Women's Ministries, Christmas poinsettias for the sanctuary. You can pay attention to that. Also, the Macy's fundraiser, important. Gift wrap help tomorrow. And then the women's Christmas breakfast this Saturday as well. So I guess the men and the women will both be Christmasing in separate directions. Sometimes that just works better, right? But that's what's going on. I think I covered all my notes. I believe I did. And so because all of our activities are important, but they're still a vapor in comparison to eternity, would you join me in prayer? Thank you for reminding me. On the Peter Mayer concert. Yes, we want to... this Friday, so you need to sign up or purchase your tickets in the fellowship hall today. All proceeds go to charity. Peter Mayer plays with Jimmy Buffett throughout the year. He's got band members from Alabama, from many, not from the state of, from the group of, and many other very highly professional concert. You'll be blessed with it. A lot of Indian flavor because he grew up in India as a missionary's kid. And you don't want to miss it. And if you've gone before, come again, because there are some things that will be new. And all, again, proceeds will go to a charity. Now, let's open our hearts even further to that which is eternal. Lord God, as we come before you and our minds, our hearts are filled with words. The words of the announcements, the words of the songs, the words of our thoughts about what we want to get at ShopRite or what we need to get done before tomorrow. I hope for many of us today is a day of rest and rejuvenation, though. But with all of these words, oh God, separate out from them our words, our thoughts, my words, and your word, which is to be the center, which is the bread of life, the bread of heaven for us. We receive it now. Thank you. We're hungry for it, Lord Jesus. Whether we are strong believers, whether we're not sure we're a believer yet, whether we're someplace like most of us in the middle, feed us now internally and eternally. And we pray this in your name and all God's people said.
Good morning. This morning's reading is from John chapter 6, verses 41 to 51, and can be found on page 868 in your pew Bible. Please stand for the scripture reading. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "It is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can we now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes that has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes from the heaven, so that one may eat it of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. There's been a debate in the church for at least the last 50 years, ever since the Jesus people. And the debate's been about what or who is in this manger. Some say, well, it's the finest human being that was ever born. And others say it's the very Son of God. Although we're going to talk about it in slightly different terms. I'm going to talk about it in terms of some of us, even those who've come to faith and believe in Jesus. Some of us would say that God is primarily out there, and some of us would say that God is primarily in here. And the question is, who's right? In the manger, the mystery of the manger is that the answer is yes. But the truth is that humans, we are all a little tipsy. Sometimes in our theology, we're all a little bit like a drunken sailor. We all lean one way or another. No one ever achieves a perfect balance. And so I'm not sure where you're out of balance, but listen to this, and maybe some of you have yet to commit yourself to Jesus because you've not seen or heard a balanced representation of the faith. But let's think about that today. The God outers say, yes, God created the universe. Yes, as Bette Midler sang, he oversees it from a distance. Da-da-da-da-da-da, you know the song. Yes, God is primarily concerned about justice. He said through the ancient prophet, even as our Jewish cousins are celebrating Hanukkah right now, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Okay? And the God inner say, but wait a minute, Jesus is my personal Savior. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Jesus loves me and helps me to love Him and others. The Jesus' Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in me. And who's right? You know, they sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus," right? Who's right? Well, both, in a sense. I mean, the God-outers are right in that it's true. God created the universe. It's true that he spins the Milky Way galaxy, as the old Negro spiritual says. He's got the whole world in his hands, right? And it's also true that he loves justice, that he's passionate, that echo that we heard from that African-American preacher about 40 years ago, echoing the ancient prophet that said, "Let justice roll down like a mighty flowing stream." You know, Martin Luther King, millennia after Amos, is true. But as my old boss would say, that the God-outers are a half a bubble off. Sure, of course, you know, God reigns, God wants justice, God sits on heaven's throne, but also God is personal. That as Peter Kreft said it, Christian philosopher, that the Christian God came to earth to deliberately put himself on the hook of human suffering. You see, that hook begins in the manger and it ends in the cross. And when Jesus came, he entered our pain. And he lived and entered our pain, and he from the time that he said the final goodbye to the infinite intimacy of the Trinity until the last moment that his chest heaved its last on the cross, he was entering our pain. And at the cross, he was suffering for us, right? That the penalty that a just God would require would be paid by Jesus, not by me or by you, because that would mean hell for us. And we confess in Advent that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, who suffers with us in your suffering in this moment. So, God is out there, but God is personal. And because God's personal, of course, the God-inners have it right, right? Jesus doesn't just occupy a throne in heaven. Jesus also occupies a throne. Maybe one can think of it as a manger in each of our own hearts. That great carol that we'll sing on Christmas Eve, "O little town of Bethlehem, ends be born in us today," right? So Jesus is also the God within us who lives in and lives through us. And you might, like me, love that old Eastern Easter hymn. "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my life, my heart." Right? That's the story of Jesus. But God-inners are also half a bubble off. Because what they forget is that the God who can sit on the throne of their hearts is also the God who sits on the throne of heaven. That God is both within us and outside of us, and that somehow we have to hold those two in balance. I think about the great story of William Wilberforce. Maybe you saw the movie. How in 1833... the British Parliament, the abolitionists in the British Parliament, worked up such a passion for God's justice to free the slaves in Great Britain that they committed half of the national budget to compensate planters for the freed slaves. Some historians have looked at that and said that was voluntary econocide, but they did it. Because they believed that they would, that the Christ who lived within them would also be the Christ before whom they stand at the end of life on the day of judgment, and they could not have the blot of slavery in their lives, in their society. And we could talk further about the civil rights movement in America. We could talk about the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission. We could talk about those who are passionate about God's justice today against hate crimes and for the environment and many other ways. But when we ask the question, is God primarily out there or is God primarily in here? The mystery of the manger is somehow the answer is yes. And I think the reason for that is that the little baby whose birth we celebrate in the next couple of weeks is the one who grew up to say, I am the living bread, which comes down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give him, that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so maybe dealing with the mystery of the manger, we're helped not just to come to the manger, but to come to the table and think about the bread of heaven. This is bread. This is that which enters you and nourishes you. But it's bread of heaven, that of the God who is not only in you as in faith through Jesus Christ, but the God who is above you and over all. It's the bread of heaven. And our Jewish cousins always had a difficulty with the idea that God could be both out there and somehow in here. And so they've emphasized the God out there. And the struggle that they had to bring the two together is in our passage where they said, isn't this Joseph's son, the carpenter? How can he say that he's the bread of heaven? And in the Gospel of John at this time, Jesus, up until this time, Jesus' poll numbers had been through the roof. And now suddenly when he says he's the bread of heaven, they fall. And people in mass leave him. And Jesus says forlornly to his followers, and particularly to Peter, will you go too? Will you go too? Will I go too? Because we can't hold this great paradox of the faith together. But those of us who come this morning and by the grace of God eat of the bread of heaven, we come in awe and we too, as we touch the mystery of the manger, we also are able then to say with Peter, where can we go? Who has the words of eternal life? So I invite you this morning to come and eat the bread of heaven in awe. Pray with me. Jesus, you're so much more than we've ever thought and ever known. You're just what we need. You're what the world needs as we worry about this world that seems maybe to spin into war between North and South Korea or Iran's nuclear bombs or these wars that we're fighting, and it's also, oh God, this our inner issues of unemployment or of loneliness or of family breakdown in the holidays. Oh God, you know what we need. And so we come this morning and ask you for the faith that will strengthen us as we're nourished by you, your Son, who tells us that he is even the bread of heaven. And we receive this in faith. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Let's see. Let us, before we do the offering, look at the moment for mission slide. There we go. Speaking of justice, the Martin Luther King Youth Center is one of the missions that we support. Its purpose is offers educational, recreational, cultural, development, and nutritional programs to meet the needs of school-age children. And that's where we give some of our donation. And you can donate to the General Mission Fund by using the envelopes either from home or in your pews, or if you give your tithes and offerings in the general offering, know that some of that will go to the Martin Luther King Youth Center. Let's give to God who's given everything to us. Thank you. We praise you, O God, as we give our gifts because you joyfully gave first to us. It's against our nature to praise you that we can sacrifice at home, buy a little bit less so we can give a little more. But it is within your nature to have given us this whole world and to given us your very Son. And so we too learn from you and let your joy at giving come within our lives. Thank you, and bless us as we give to those around us this week. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. One of the interesting things on the fifth night of Hanukkah, are we tonight, is that this supper, communion, unites our faith. On the one hand, it reminds us of the Passover, when God took slaves in Egypt and freed them and led them out of the land after tremendous turmoil and difficulty. And it also reminds us of Jesus on the Last Supper, who was celebrating a Passover meal at the time, who said that his was the blood and his was the bread, the flesh, because he's not only over us to free us, but within us to empower us And so as you come to this table this morning, you come in with millions who've come before you, those who've celebrated Passover and freedom, those who've celebrated Christ and personal freedom, and together receive that strength and that power and that love that only Jesus can give to us. Pray with me. Using the ancient words in the bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And so we do give you thanks, O Lord, for many, many blessings. We're thankful for prayers received, for Grace's recovery from hernia surgery. I'm thankful that she's here this morning. Thankful for missionaries and all who share the love of God with those in need, O God. And hear us as we offer other thanksgivings to you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for friends, the music program, and all the volunteers. For the people in our congregation who have stepped up and filled in for Brian. We think of the volunteer directors. We think of Ed and Judy, the interim music administrators. Ed and Judy Stotts. We think of Lauren Fox, the interim accompanist. Thank you, Lord, for all of them, each of them. The beauty of this church. And then, Lord Jesus, we bring before you the brokenness and the concern that we have. We think about 9-year-old Adam undergoing surgery this week and the families of those persecuted and martyred for their faith. We think of Christy Ann, I'm not sure I can read it, Sunbury, Bob Strauss's niece, had surgery last week to remove cancerous uterus. And for Laura Voller's grandmother, Esther Springman, who fell and broke her leg, prayer for a speedy and healthy recovery and physical therapy, O God. And hear other prayers. We ask you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we ask you for prayers for the homeless and the cold. Prayers for a friend, Vincent, who's battling stage 4 lung cancer, and comfort for his family. Prayers for Mike Dunlap and his physical needs. Prayers for friends Kim and Kay. Prayers for Brother Bill as he undergoes major transitions in life. Ooh. We pray for son Mark and that the doctors can help him with his neck problems as he couldn't move it freely this morning. Prayers for Kathy Pfeiffer's husband. And Jesus, we combine all of these prayers with that great prayer that you taught us and you pray with us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. There'll be healing prayers after you come forward for communion. And I also am reminded that I forgot to invite Laura DiPrato up for her announcement. So how about we do this after the communion, before we do the Thanksgiving, or if I forget and do the Thanksgiving, the music folks won't start until I get Laura up there, and one way or the other we'll get you in with my faulty memory. So we come before, and we know that the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which was broken for you. As often as you eat of it, remember me." And after they had supped, he took the cup, which was reminded them of the new promise in his blood, and he said, "This is my blood, which was shed, which it will be shed for you. As often as you drink of it, remember me." So the cup which we bless is our communion with the blood of Christ. The bread which we bless is our communion with the body of Christ. Did I say that right? I think you know what I mean. And so come, for all things are now ready. We invite the musicians to come forward, and then we invite the elders and, of course, those in the balcony to come forward first. And if you want a confidential prayer of healing for yourself or others, come and meet me after you receive communion in the chancel area.
It's so hot inside my soul. I swear there must be blisters on my heart. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than to take what you give that I need. And I beat my head against so many walls. Now I'm falling down, I'm falling down. Salvation Army band is playing this hymn, and your grace rings out so deep, it makes my resistance seem so thin. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? I'm singing, hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace? Surrender don't come natural to me. I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than to take what you give that I need. So hold me, Jesus, 'cause I'm shaking like a leaf. You have been King of my glory. Won't you be my Prince of Peace?
But we are going to do the Thanksgivings first, but right after the Thanksgiving. So if you just come forward now so you're standing right next to me, I can't forget. Laura's got an important announcement about a mission that we can become involved in. But before that, let's stand and give thanks to God in the words printed in the bulletin. And you can use that mic.
Okay.
But you want to read it with me if you want. Brothers and sisters, since the Lord has now fed us at his table, let us praise God's holy name with heartfelt thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, why don't you be seated for a moment and before the song. And Laura, if you can just share with us this wonderful mission that we may have opportunity to get involved with.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The Lord has called me here today to share a mission, a ministry, a project, in which he has revealed the outcome to me. And is the outcome, in concept, I introduced it to the consistory back in October, who approved this project and this ministry known as a community garden. That community garden would be located behind the Sunrise House in the rear lawn, which is approximately about an acre. I don't have any of the details worked out, and the very reason I'm standing here before this congregation, it is not my job to work those details out. My job is to deliver the message from the good Lord Jesus Christ about his work. That community garden would be used to service groups, the groups that this very church serves. It is a community garden in which food, native plants and flowers and herbs will be planted, cared for, nurtured, and watched matured, and then sown to the very people who need it. Groups of individuals here in this church, the Center for Life Transitions, Kirkside, the North Branch Reformed Church, IHN, and all of the other groups that this church serves, the preschool. This garden will be designed as an accessible garden. Accessible meaning making gardening opportunities and the opportunity to make a contribution for the very people of special needs, people who might be sighted, people who might be in a wheelchair, people who can't hold heavy tools, people who want a sense of normalcy and contribution again. So this garden will be three-dimensional, serving people of all abilities and needs here in this congregation. So I'm calling the congregation to prayerfully consider if this is a mission that you can help to serve with by serving on a committee that I have been commissioned by the Lord to form to bring this project, this mission, this ministry to fruition. There is no timetable for this. It could be next year, it could be 5 years from now. But my job right now is to introduce this ministry in concept form only as it has been approved by the consistory. Please take this in prayer. If you are interested in serving on the committee, certainly see me. I think I see most of you all the time. I do have an email address, a phone number, and I'm happy to make myself available in Fellowship Hall right after. I'd like to read a quick verse that I'd like all of you to take in prayer long after this service is done today. It's from 2 Corinthians, verse 10. Don't know if you guys remember, but on October 23rd, Pastor Mark actually read this passage. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgivings to God through us. Amen.
God has three great missions for the church. One is evangelism, other is justice, and the third is the care of creation. And this gives us an opportunity to care for those around us within the church and in the community. And so if you're interested, see Laura, and we'll refine the concept and get final approval at some future date. Let's continue in our mission to stand and to sing Joy to the World.
Thank you.
That one before. That's a great one. Take the hand of the person next to you. And know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you before to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people say,
thank you. You've been listening to a production of the North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. To connect with us online, visit nbrc.com. Thanks for listening.